It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore ideas to address the dwindling sources of local news, what are commonly referred to as news deserts, with local newspapers in steep decline. And the study from Harvard University, it hits close to home because it thinks local public radio stations are a key to delivering essential community information. Call in with questions about news deserts, how you learn about what's going on in your area, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tom Patterson is here, professor of government and the press at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government, recently published a survey on information deserts. Tom, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. Well, put news deserts in perspective for us. How big of an issue are they now in our country? What are the consequences?
Well, we use the title news crisis, and I think that's what we're talking about. In many communities around the country, the newspaper is either closed down or it's really shrunk in size. So much less local reporting. And what the studies show is that when a community loses its newspaper, a lot of things happen that aren't very good. The civic health of the community declines. Voting rates in local elections diminish. Accountability of local officials declines. You have more polarization, less social cohesion, less of a community identity. I think it's fair to say when a newspaper dies, the community loses the common bond that unites its people and gives them a real sense of community. And we're seeing that in many places now, and it's going to get worse.
And so this is documented, as we have seen the decline of newspapers in the couple most recent decades specifically, that you can connect the dots to civic engagement.
Yeah, and that's the important thing. I mean, so, you know, it's always a tragedy in a community when it loses a business. You know, you shutter the doors, people lose their jobs. The local paper is not just any other business. It really helps hold the community together so that when it goes, some of the democracy in that community also goes with it. And that's what we're concerned about, is how do we shore up local news? How do we make sure that people in communities across the country have access to enough news about their community so that they know what the government is doing, they know what their neighbors are doing in terms of when it relates to community issues and the like. So they basically can keep track, can be part of the community and have a sense of what's going on in the place where they live outside of their own neighborhood and friendships.
And your study, it puts us in the hot seat here. Why are public radio stations positioned to fill these information gaps?
Well, most of them are not yet positioned to do that. And that's one of the important findings from the study. The problem is staffing. If you look at more than half of local public radio stations, they have fewer than 10 people on news staff. And we used a very generous definition of what constitutes being a member of the news staff. So it includes student interns, it includes part-timers, it includes the technicians who directly support those who are on the air. It's not only the reporters, the hosts and the like. And then you ask, well, if you only have 10 people in the newsroom or fewer, and about half have only about five or less in the newsroom, that really limits what you can do in terms of reporting on the community. And you compare that with a medium-sized newspaper, which will have 50 people in the newsroom. Well, less than 5% of public radio stations have that many people in their newsroom. So they don't quite have the capacity to fill the gap that's being created by the decline of the newspaper. So the question is, what would it take to beef them up so that they can play a larger role in communicating on their community?
You crunched some numbers on that. How much funding do stations need to fill the local news void?
Well, we did crunch the numbers, and it varies a lot, of course, from one media market to the next, and one community to the next. It's, you know, covering a medium-sized city is different than covering a smaller, mostly rural area. But what we came up with is an average across the member stations of the public radio system is somewhere around 1.3 million each year. Now, when you aggregate that and you multiply that by the number of stations, then you're pushing up toward 300 million or so annually. That's a lot of money. But I think the important point about the report is that not everywhere needs that money. I happen to live in Boston. We have a very strong regional paper here, the Boston Globe. We have two extraordinary NPR stations, WBUR and WGBH. But we're talking about places that are underserved in terms of the local information that they're getting. And if you target those, then I think you're talking about something that's more realistic in terms of finding the funding that's needed for those communities that are being underserved in terms of their information needs.
We're talking about news and information gaps with Tom Patterson, has a new study out, Harvard University professor of government and the press. You can join in the conversation about information gaps, news deserts, and what you have noticed in your own community. The number to call in is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tom, I mean, you know, in this survey, and if you could talk a little bit more about what you were trying to gather in this survey and how you heard from so many different news leaders at stations around the country, what were some of the themes that came out of this survey?
Well, there's quite a number, Kate, and but I would focus on a couple of things. Some stations operate in what we call hard places. You know, and these are places that have lower than average income levels. As you know, the NPR stations, the public radio depends on listener contributions. And if you're in an area that's not all that affluent, that's a harder thing to do. It's harder to raise the money in those communities. And interestingly, those are the communities that disproportionately are ones where the newspaper has either closed or is shrinking dramatically in terms of its ability to cover the local community. So we have this kind of situation where the stations that are in most in need are the ones that are least able locally to get the resources they need to really do their community coverage in a more robust way. And one of our findings is then that you really need to look outside of the community. You need to look to new sources of funding and then target it for those stations that are in those underserved communities.
One source of funding has been government funding. What can you tell us there in terms of trying to build up the news deficit? I think you also compared funding that BBC makes to its public media versus what the American government does. Can you talk more there?
Well, I think many Americans might think that government is giving a lot of money to public radio. And if you look at the dollar amount, it is quite a bit. But then you look at it on a per capita basis, and it comes into real proportion as to what it is. So in the U.S., for all governments, the average is about $3 per capita. Now, if you compare that with Britain and the BBC, that's over $50 per capita support for public media. So we do not have robust government funding of public radio. Public radio stations depend primarily on their listeners, member contributions, and then on...
And we remind them of that.
Well, and they're so important.
Multiple times of year, Tom.
Well, they're so important. But what's interesting about that, I mean, is that so many people, millions of people, really like public radio and listen to it regularly, but only about 1 in 10 of those regular listeners contribute to their local station. You know, the others are kind of free riders. You know, they get this wonderful commercial-free radio listening opportunity, but don't contribute it to it. So if we could get members or listeners to contribute more significantly, that would help. But that's been pretty flat over the years. So I don't expect that's going to change. I think that 10% figure is pretty much what we're looking at. When you think about what's happened, you know, why is it that the local newspaper is in so much trouble? It's due to the communications revolution, the digital revolution, It's due to the Googles and the Facebooks and the like that have captured so much of this advertising revenue that newspapers depended on. Well, that's also created a huge amount of private wealth. You know, we have more wealth, private wealth in this country than we've had at any time since the 1920s. And many of those people have accumulated very large fortunes. Now, interestingly, many of them have a philanthropic spirit. They're givers. They want to give back. But interestingly, public radio has not been very high on their list. And I think we have to convince them about why public radio and why local media particularly are so important. This is democracy. And when you lose your newspaper or you lose your local information capacity, then other things begin to go downhill. So this is not just a crisis in the news business. This is a crisis for democracy. I think that's a story that can be told and that can convince some of these private donors really to step up and help preserve this very important part of the fabric of our democracy.
Harvard Kennedy School's government and the press professor Tom Patterson with us did a study with the goal of understanding whether local public radio stations could ultimately fill an absence from local newspapers. Call in with your questions, your observations here, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discussed the drying up of local news and a recent Harvard University study that looks to local public radio stations as a potential solution that would involve dramatically increasing newsroom numbers in most cases and local beats. Thanks to Peter in Price County, by the way, during our recent caller-only program, requesting a deeper dive on news deserts.
When I was growing up in Price County, we got four or five daily newspapers home-delivered. Now there are no daily newspapers coming to Price County at all, and there haven't been for years.
Call in with your questions and comments about the disappearance of local news sources, 800-642-1234. Tom Patterson is here, study author, professor at Harvard Kennedy School. Let's bring in perspective from Sally in Madison. Hi, Sally.
Yes, I live in the Madison, Wisconsin area, and we have a paper here, which is actually a statewide thing called the Wisconsin State Journal. I love newspapers and paper, reading paper things, but we don't subscribe anymore because there's such a focus on crime and sports. And the local paper in the smaller community, suburb that I live in, same thing. So I think it's not just, I just think these local papers and even these statewide ones are doing so much on crime and sports and so little on news.
Sally, thank you for bringing that up. Tom, what are your insights there on the coverage itself?
No, I think that's been the tendency in the news media generally on the commercial side, not true on the public radio side. But look, the business model is collapsing for commercial media. It's not only the newspapers, but there's a downsizing of staff at local television stations. And they're chasing ratings at the moment, just trying to stay alive. And when you chase ratings, then you boost your celebrity coverage, your crime coverage and the like. You start cutting back on the kind of information that holds a community together, not that kind of is disruptive of the community. So you're quite right about the trend, but it's part of the larger problem of the shrinking of the business model. Just to give you a sense of how much that business model has collapsed. So if you go back 20 years, the newspaper business was a $50 billion business. That was the gross revenue that newspapers around the country were taking in. Today it's $10 billion. And when you go from $50 billion to $10 billion, you're gonna lose a lot of newspapers, you're gonna lose a lot of journalists, and then you're gonna figure out, I've got to do something to stay alive. And sadly, I think the coverage has weakened. Not only has the coverage slimmed down, but what is covered is less serving of a community's needs.
Sally, thank you. Danielle in Spooner. Hi, Danielle. What would you like to bring up?
Hi, yeah. So I am a former journalist of a small town newspaper called the Washburn County Register. The paper closed in like the 2020, the summer of 2020. And yeah, I just want to point out that like the stuff we covered the city council meetings, we covered county board, we covered the school board. We covered a lot of like small town stuff, and I just don't see public radio covering that. That's all.
Danielle, thank you so much for that. Tom.
Well, Danielle, that's confirmed by our study. We did kind of look deeply at what local public radio stations are doing, in terms of their coverage. And most of them are not doing a very good job in terms of the local coverage. They're relying primarily on the national feeds to fill their time. And but that's one of the arguments we're making. If you're going to get more local coverage from local public radio, they need to beef up their staff. They don't have the staff to do local reporting in a large way, or most of them. So I think that's one of the things that has to happen.
How do local stations, overestimate their ability to raise the money to do the jobs? I mean, if you're talking about stations and adding a number of people to their newsrooms to really hone in on local beats in specific areas, how can a fundraising arm support that?
Well, I think there are some things that can happen at the local level. Look, you know, when a newspaper goes away, I think community leaders recognize the danger and the risk of not having good local coverage. And there you can turn to, local businesses as underwriters of public radio. There you can look to, if you have them, local foundations for more support. But I think the point of the study is that in most communities, they can provide more support, but they're not going to be able to provide the level of support that's needed. And mm-hmm. So you have to look outside the community, and particularly to these large private donors, to really make a commitment to local public radio, because it's not only a commitment to public radio, it's a commitment to keeping our communities thriving, to keep democracy alive at the local level. So it's a much larger mission than simply filling out newsrooms for the sake of filling them out. What we're really trying to do is address the information needs of American communities.
Let's bring in Michael in Spring Green. Michael, you're on with Tom Patterson, Harvard University professor of government.
Yes, I'm wondering if you might reconsider what you're saying about the new technologies like micro networks. I've been traveling around the country and even outside of the country, and it's really exciting to see how neighborhoods have their own local networks of news going on using the computer, either YouTube or Facebook or whatever. But they cover things that are really high resolution. In other words, you know, they're things that normally news media just skip, like weather related difficulties, people with personal needs, etc. I was wondering if you'd just talk a little bit more about the fact that technology is really changing, and radio technology is something that might be too expensive for local networks. Thank you.
Michael, thank you. Tom.
And we're not making the argument that local public radio is the only answer. I think this is one of those situations where you need all hands on deck. Digital startups can also contribute to expanding local news coverage. And then you look at local public radio. Local public radio is not just radio. It has an online presence. It's also digital. But there again, you run into the staffing issue. If you're going to have good digital presence and have people come to your site day after day to find out what's happening in their community, you've got to have a lot of content there. And most stations are not positioned to do that. So I think this is going to take a large effort, looking at a lot of different platforms, trying to do this in a lot of different ways. I think the day of the newspaper being the kind of the full service local information system. I think that day is fading fast, and in two or three decades will be gone.
Tom, thank you for joining us and for sharing this research.
Kate, it's been a pleasure. I'm a Minnesota native, by the way, small town. And in my little county on the other side of Minnesota, there's also no daily newspaper delivery, and the local weeklies are really shrinking fast
fading.
And some close. So I know the problem a little bit firsthand. It looks different from Boston, but I'll tell you, small town Minnesota is not like, unlike a lot of Wisconsin. So it's been a pleasure, Kate. Thank you.
Tom Patterson, professor of government and the press at Harvard University's Kennedy School. We have a link to the study at WPR.org/mornings. This is the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine the path forward for local news and the growing phenomenon of news deserts where people get scant coverage of their communities. Call in with your questions, your insights about local journalism as you see it, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Carl Habeck is general manager of WOJB, broadcasting from the Lac-Couturier Reservation near Hayward. Station can be heard from Chippewa Falls to Superior. Carl, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Happy to be here.
Good morning. Jesse Dick here as well, general manager and president of WXPR Public Radio in Rhinelander, community radio station broadcasting in a 70-mile radius of Rhinelander, also airs in Wausau and Ironwood, Michigan. Jesse, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So we just spoke with Harvard professor Tom Patterson, who published this survey on information deserts, news deserts, how local public radio stations could potentially fill these gaps. Jesse, you first. What is your reaction? Can your station fill gaps for your communities?
Sure. So I was actually part of the survey. So I remember taking this survey.
Ah.
And I feel like we could be a case study moving forward. WXPR in 2019 responded to the fact that our local newspaper went from a daily to two times a week and saw that many of the commercial radio stations eliminated their news departments. So we went ahead and stretched our already very thin budget to add one additional news staff to try to respond to this. And it's a huge financial risk for us, but the people that are on the board and myself and the staff, we live in this community. And for us, the idea of people not being informed was not okay. And so it was a huge financial risk, but we felt that we owed it to this community that supported us for almost 40 years. And we definitely live in one of those hard places. So we now have a news budget of around $100,000 with two staff people. And it's not sustainable, as Tom mentioned, for us to be able to support this on our own. We have limited local foundations and corporate support, limited large donors. So really what the study came out saying is that there has to be funding from outside. And we've found this moving forward, that's gonna have to be the solution. And as Danielle, who was the former reporter, called in and said, you know, how are they gonna cover this? We cover 9 counties. We can't cover every county board meeting with two people. So we're seeing it, that we can do our best. And one additional person has really helped to increase our digital presence and help us, especially during pandemic coverage. But there's a lot more funding that needs to happen to be able to really thoroughly cover the counties that we're in.
The math doesn't work in multiple ways, as you're saying here. Carl, what comes up for you as you hear this? And what do you experience where you are near Hayward?
Well, I know even Hayward's even a smaller community than Rhinelander. And our staff, we haven't had news reporting in years because, number one, we can't afford it, and number two, we're in the same boat. We've turned into basically our local news is basically news reading. And are same, we're in the same situation where we have a local paper that's down to one issue a week, or we subscribe to other local papers throughout the area where we can garnish some news. But, you know, the news that we want, and I think that our listeners want, you know, isn't something, you know, we don't want to go through the police blotter or anything like that. We want to get something that's, you know, maybe something more along like government meetings, what's being done within healthcare in the community, what's being done to address housing, things like that in the community, where we just don't have the people to put somebody out on the beat to do that. It's just not feasible with our... I read the study incomplete, and I mean, we are at the bottom, this station right here, as far as in the desert and in a hard area. We are, I mean, classic. I looked at the report, and these people have, some of them have 41 journalists on their staff, and it's like, that's unimaginable to me. Mm. And so, yeah, for us, it's going to take money, and I don't think that we cannot find that money through our donors or through our underwriters. It's going to have to be some kind of from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, for example. I think that they really, I read that in the report too, that there's a feeling that they really cater to the larger communities, and our people like us get left behind. And I can tell you that's a fact. That's what happens.
Jesse,
but then again, I'd like to say that without CPB money, we wouldn't be here. But, you know, we wouldn't be here without our volunteers either. We wouldn't be here without our underwriters. You know, it's all dependent.
Jesse, yes, and as Carl lays that out, you know, Carl brought up volunteers. I'm just wondering, do you lean into volunteers as well?
We do. So WXPR is an NPR affiliate, so we do air NPR news, and we also have volunteers that host all of our music programming as well. We haven't leaned into them as far as news coverage goes. We have worked with stringers, and then we also have connected with a commercial TV station in Wausau that we do a news swap with.
So stringers being freelance journalists,
right,
who
right,
get
thanks.
An assignment from you. Uh-huh.
Exactly. But the number of journalists that are in the area is decreasing as well. They're finding other careers to kind of dive into. What I do want to say, you know, I kind of painted this bleak picture, but I want to say how, you know, for us, that adding that extra person. So for us, doubling our news staff has made a huge impact on just our reporting. So just that a small increase, you know, even if it's not 10 reporters, but just being able to add a handful of new people to be able to just dig deeper into some of the topics, complex topics that are happening. We were able to really cover the PFAS situation that was happening in Rhinelander. And then especially during the pandemic, to be able to be the only, we felt the only station that was providing information that was actually happening at a county level. And so people knew what was happening county-wise, where they could go for help, airing DHS updates. And so we felt a lifeline for a lot of people during that time where they weren't able to get information. And I know Carl has this similar situation in Hayward through a WOJB, is we have a large population up here that does not have the internet. So they are really relying on community stations to provide that information when it comes to natural disasters or something that might happen there, or when it is life-saving information, knowing what to do when there's a global pandemic.
I'm going to reintroduce you both here for just a moment. We've been hearing there from Jesse Dick, General Manager and President of WXPR Public Radio in Rhinelander, and Carl Habeck is here, General Manager at WOJB out of Le Coeur d'Alene Reservation near Hayward, as we look at local public radio stations and what to do about news deserts. You can join in the conversation, your questions and comments, your observations, welcome at 800-642-1234. So, Carl, that is what Jesse brings up there. There is such an effort now on this digital transformation to really look to the internet and look for more software tools and more of these platforms and social platforms to find people to be able to communicate that way. What do you see going on in terms of your digital build out?
Well, personally, here at the station, I'll say that, we're able to do that. We're able to find some resources on there that we can relate over the airwaves, but we're there's a lot of people here that don't have internet, same thing. And if you do have internet, I have internet at home. I can't even access my local news, and I don't have a choice on this matter. It comes out of Minnesota, comes out of Minneapolis. They're 3.5 hours away from me. I don't have a choice. I can't get news out of Eau Claire, which is 1.5 hours away, that has local television affiliates. The providers here, you don't have no choice. I've tried different ones. You get stuck with Minneapolis. We get stuck. We have to watch the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday because they won't show the Packer games. Tammy Baldwin introduced a bill called Go Pack Go, which would have helped, I think, steered that in the right direction where people would be given the opportunity to at least get their news from Wisconsin, that live in Wisconsin. But that the bill either dies on the floor. I think this year, I think she's introduced it 3 or 4 years in a row. And it's either died on the floor or else. I think this year some subcommittee picked it up. But that would be a start to get people at least to see local news around here in our part of the state. We get to see Minnesota news.
You bring up federal resources. Were you able to use federal pandemic aid in any way in these times?
Yeah, we were able to use it for a variety of things. But, it's very restricted on what you can and cannot spend the money on. And to hire staff members with that money that wasn't going to be there the following year is not really a good idea, because where are you going to get the money the next year to pay this person's salary?
Mm-hmm. One time.
That's something that we couldn't really consider. But right now we're getting in a position. We have an opening right now for a news person. And I think possibly too, if we could get somebody on part-time to assist them, because to do proper journalism, it takes a lot of time fact-checking, and we don't want to put stories out there that aren't accurate.
Jesse, what are your thoughts on federal pandemic aid? Have you been able to get assistance there?
Yeah, so that kept us going. That kept our news department going, and also served as an example of how just some additional funding during the time when news staff needed it the most was huge, and continues to keep us strong in that area. It also just shows that public radio can do a lot with limited resources. We already have the infrastructure in place where we're broadcasting already, so it's not like a new startup that has to happen. So the funds that could really infuse a news department wouldn't be much for stations these size compared to, as Tom mentioned, a WBUR in Boston or something in a larger city. So to really make sure that funds were applied to these smaller stations that are serving these hard places, rural areas, it wouldn't take a whole lot to make a huge impact, as we saw just from adding one additional reporter made a huge difference for us.
Community radio station GMs Jesse Dick there, Carl Habeck is here, as we look at their experiences running local public radio stations, what they envision in the future. Still time to add your voice to the conversation, questions about civic life, community information, where it's gone, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore news deserts, what impact community radio stations have, with two general managers invested in local content. Call in about News Desert's solutions, perhaps signs of hope you see in your community. 800-642-1234. WXPR Public Radio's Jesse Dick is out of Rhinelander, and WOJB's Carl Habeck is based on the Lukwudere Reservation near Hayward. They stay with us. Carl, as you know, that the Harvard's survey that was sent to hundreds of public radio stations around the country asked what they would do with 10 additional employees. A dream for us. What would you do?
With 10? Oh, then I'd have to build a bigger building for sure. But the 10, I mean, even for us, 3 additional employees would be great. And it would be great to dedicate 2 of those people to news gathering, and then for us it'd be like maybe 1 more person in the front desk or that type of situation. That's all we need. I mean, we've been kind of acclimated to operating small. You know, we have to, and you know, we've got our staff is very versatile. They're able to multitask and do a lot of things, and that's what we have to do. And it'd be a dream to be able to hire 3 more people.
Jesse, what would your dream be as you look at the survey and scaling up?
Sure. We really tried to take steps forward to that digital transformation. So I think we would actually have a lot of reporters that were doing not only on-air contributions, but a lot of digital website contributions. So we know that people are getting their news from the web, and to be able to have a reliable local source for them to find that would be extremely important. And we have dreams of having, you know, a half hour long local public affairs program. That's just not something we have the staff to be able to do. As you know, it takes a lot of time and energy to put something like that together, but to be able to have just a spot for local conversations would be huge.
When you added the additional newsroom position, you mentioned PFAS, forever chemicals, yeah, and a breakthrough there in reporting. Tell us about what happened.
Sure. We were really trying to move forward with a public contribution, public meaning our community, you know, letting us know what they wanted us to report on. So we asked, we said we had forms on our website. We went around the community and did a tour. What are you wondering? What are your questions about the Northwoods and the UP? Let us find out. And one of them that came up, it was somebody pointed to a study that was done years ago on PFAS contamination across the country. And Rhinelander happened to be listed on there. And so we were followed up on it and met with the mayor and the city at the time. And they were also looking into it, and it led to the conversations and down the road of 2 of the wells being shut down in Rhinelander because of PFAS contamination. And what we've also been able to do is, it wasn't just a report at that time, okay, we found this, we're walking away from it, but we continue to show up at those conversations. We continue to announce what's happening, not only at the federal level now, but statewide and locally. And it is a huge problem, not only in Rhinelander, in Wausau as well. So having these reporters allowed us to not just do, you know, the headline and say what happened, but to take the time to really dig into it and to find out what's happening and to talk to people that have contaminated wells in the city and how they're dealing with it. And with 1 reporter, we just couldn't do that before. But it's interesting, we've had a couple of reporters that have come from like a commercial television background, and their biggest thing about coming to community radio is they said, we have the time to look into these things. You know, we didn't have that before, and we know how important the story is of not just, you know, I heard that on WXPR, but I understood it on WXPR. And so I think that's been the difference with that reporting, is having just a bit more time, a bit more luxury of being able to really dig into the reports and share with the community.
And Carl, for you, you have the annual Birkebeiner ski race, massive ski race in your neck of the woods. How have you gone about connecting there with the community on that race?
Well, Yeah, we're pretty well known for that, for covering the race. And that's everybody, it's all hands on deck for that. Everybody here at the station and volunteers. And, you know, we try as much to work with the American Worker Writer Foundation to make everything run smoothly. And it's a challenge, but we get it done every year. And the community, really, we get a lot of positive feedback from the community just on that event alone. But, you know, there's more serious issues around here that we'd like to cover more. I mean, the Line 5 pipeline up north is a huge issue around here. In the past, we've been able to send reporters when the mine was going into, when they were fighting the mine in the Pinocchi Hills up there near Mellon, Wisconsin. We had people up there. We were able to cover that. That was basically with volunteers. Mm. But, you know, unless it's a big news story, we don't really get the volunteers to come out and to, you know, participate in daily news.
I want to ask each of you, where do you see the most potential for increasing funding sources so that you can be able to do more of these coverage things? Jesse, you first.
Sure. I think on the national level, there is a effort to increase Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding, especially to rural stations. But I'm going to agree with Tom for the Harvard study that he did is some of those large national foundations that to take a look at some of these rural areas that are in hard places, that are in news deserts, and really pivot the funding to some of those places. We do have local foundations, but they don't have the means enough to support at this level. And so coming from something on a national level, with the understanding that this is something we need for a healthy democratic society, I think that's really the key to move forward.
Do you feel you have the voice, the connectedness there in order to say how much this matters, or how do you communicate that?
No, we don't. I'm actually meeting with Senator Baldwin's office this afternoon just to kind of share some of the information that we've talked about today and just others, just to say what a huge impact not a lot of money can make for a small station, and the need for really this to happen across the country.
We are out of time, but I want to thank you both for joining us. Appreciate you making time.
Thanks, Kate.
Kate, thank you, Jesse.
Carl Habeck, their general manager at WOJB out of the Lac-Couturier Reservation near Hayward, broadcasting from Chippewa Falls to Superior. Jesse Dick, general manager and president of WXPR Public Radio based out of Rhinelander. Earlier, we spoke with Harvard researcher Tom Patterson, who recently published a survey. It's titled News Crisis: Can Local Public Radio Help Fill the News Gap Created by the Decline of Local Newspapers? You can find a link at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.